from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
That's right, y'all. I'm ready to talk about karma.
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 It's a good song.
It is a good song. So, that means we're going to talk about the Chiefs.
Right. Taylor Swift, karma, of course.
If karma's
all roads lead to the Chiefs.
If karma's real, they got to start losing soon. We'll get to that in a minute. We are at St. John Fisher, Bills training camp. And coverage of Bills camp is brought to you by Edmar Construction, the equipment you need when you need it. And in part by Fiegel, Carr, and Joyce, your border attorneys. Buy Outlet Liquor when you need to stock up. It's the place to buy a case. What's your outlet? And by your Western New York Ford dealers and the all-purpose affordable Ford Bronco Sport. I was taken back in time yesterday to the Super Bowl.
This past Super Bowl?
Yeah. Niners, and I thought about it.
Okay.
You know what I thought about it? If you're streaming us,
yeah,
you may be familiar with this feeling, and it was mentioned on the broadcast. It is Michael Jordan, you know, the first in pod, where Mahomes comes out down double digits, and he's cool, he's calm. I was reminded that during that Super Bowl, the Chiefs were indeed down double digits again. And I didn't go to check my timeline, but I know that I tweeted, I wrote out, this is going to be so annoying when Kansas City wins anyway. And sure enough.
They won anyway.
They did.
You jinxed it. That's why.
I called it. I didn't jinx it.
Yeah, you jinxed
it is saying the Niners are going to win the Super Bowl. I said this is going to be annoying when the Chiefs do. If I jinxed it, they would have lost.
Hmm.
Annoying.
No, that's right. You're right. That's
annoying.
How works.
They want it anyway. Now I got this viral. The Chiefs viral team. They sent out a highlight yesterday of a play where they throw. Mahomes throws it to Tony.
Yep.
Back to Mahomes.
Yep.
Back to Tony.
Back to Tony.
Down to Worthy.
Yeah.
Who is
wide open.
Like fielding a punt.
Yeah. Like no one near him. No one within 30 yards
the,
of him.
The Chiefs are out here running quadruple passes during training camp because they're bored. That's got to be
well,
it.
Well, wait a minute.
They're bored.
They do it in games. They played Ring Around the Rosie in a game.
Yes.
And then that was them going viral for a week.
They are so bored with their success.
Yeah.
That they need to lose.
I mean, it is funny. They're playing Ring Around the Rosie in the game. They're doing quad throwback passes in practice. Mahomes is saying, "Yeah, we didn't really have fun last year."
Yeah. They have to lose.
It makes it worse.
They have. Someone has to take them out.
Anybody. Maybe not the Jets. Not the Jets. Anybody else. Anybody else. Kyle Shanahan in overtime of that game. Come on, man. Go for the touchdown. The Ravens score any points in the second half.
Okay, let's.
It's not just the Bills.
Right. I know. Everybody falls asleep against
the
them.
The Jaguars and the Browns had Mahomes out of playoff games.
And lost.
And let Chad Henne drive the field on both of them and win the game.
Well, one of them, he got just a fourth down to win the game. But, yeah.
Right, yes. But he played. Didn't he play that whole second half? And then there's the Jaguar game where Mahomes can't walk.
Yep.
Henne drives for a touchdown at the half. Mahomes comes out in the second half, still can't walk, and the Jaguars couldn't do anything.
It's horrible.
Come on, people. You've had your chances.
There's the Browns fumbling into the end zone on one play. It's just anybody but them. I don't, you know, as you said, not the Jets. Maybe it's not anybody but them. Who would you like to see win it less than the Chiefs? Because the Jets and the Dolphins, I would listen to a conversation about you'd like it less.
Yes, I think I would be in that camp.
I might be ready to tell you that it would not be worse. The Chiefs winning another one would be the worst. The worst. They are getting there for me. It took probably longer than it should have. This anybody but them. New England, it's different. I think it's time to start realizing that maybe some of you out there are already there. They deserve to be hated more than the Brady Patriots for a Bills fan. They are.
Why?
The Brady Patriots were never actually in your way because you weren't any good. The Brady Patriots were annoying, but if you're a Bills fan, like we are, during the Brady years, we were jealous, annoyed, tired, exhausted, all those things.
Yeah.
But the Patriots were not in the Bills' way. There were like 10 teams in the AFC.
They were at least in my way to give me a playoff berth.
Congratulations on that. But to actually be in the way to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, they were never in
the way. The Chiefs are legitimately here, and they're not going anywhere.
Right.
They're going to be here for the next 10 years. You might as well really ramp up how you feel about them now. Why pretend that I'm getting worked up. It's terrible that they're here. And they're throwing quadruple passes. What happens next year at training camp after they win another Super Bowl? Is Andy Reid going to throw passes? Is Mahomes playing defensive line because they're so bored?
Yep.
Someone's got to take them out. Stop. You know, having your brain melt against them. Everybody has it happen to them. Like you said, the Ravens. The story of their offseason is they forgot to run the ball. The best running team in football gets to the championship games like, not today.
Yep.
The Bills, the injuries, whatever you want to say. Missing a kick.
It's really incredible they have gotten to 3. Right? It's not incredible they got to 1. Or even 2. They were in a transition. These other teams, the Browns and the Jaguars specifically, had the backup quarterback in and an injured Mahomes. The Bills, of course, we all know their end of this. And the Ravens, who stopped Kansas City. They held Mahomes to 3 points in 3 quarters and couldn't win that game at home. At home with the MVP at quarterback. They couldn't figure out how to win that game. And then you got the Niners, who had the ball in overtime, and a touchdown went. Touchdown went out of it, but they should have gone for the touchdown. They've had 2 opportunities. They've had 2 double-digit leads on the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
That's right, and lost both times.
So shit. Who's all at fault here? The Chiefs are bored. Why? Because the Bills have messed up. I'll put the Jaguars and the Browns on a smaller end on this because of the injury to Mahomes in both games. The Ravens in the AFC Championship game. And then Kyle Shanahan, twice. I still think Jets would be worse, though.
803-0550. Here's a funny thing, and this is now we're getting to the psychology of this. You have a Twitter poll up. What would be worse, the Chiefs winning again or the Jets or Dolphins winning?
Yeah.
And Jets-Dolphins is blowing it away. All right, I'm going to strap on my psychologist or psychiatrist cap in a moment.
Put yourself in this chair. Maybe not this chair because we're at St. John Fisher. Put yourself the day after the Super Bowl when Aaron Rodgers has won the Super Bowl and has won the MVP of the Super Bowl. Okay. And how insufferable that person will be for
it might be less than
the rest of his life.
I might be ready to say it's not as bad as the Chiefs.
I might be ready. It's definitely worse.
I'm flirting
with
it.
The Chiefs, they don't even care that they won. They just said they didn't even have fun. No. What's another one?
They went for whatever. We'll get a call here from Adam, and then I've got a theory on this. Adam in Buffalo. Go ahead, Adam. You're on with Jeremy and Joe from training camp. Hey, Adam.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Real quick, Jeremy, I'm going to have to disagree with you and align a little bit more with Joe on this one. Being, you know, drought era, all that kind of stuff, Bills fan, and to see somebody else achieve that success first against the Chiefs would absolutely destroy me.
The Bengals did do it, though, right? Didn't the Bengals?
I understand. I get that. Yeah. And that's all the Bengals ever. All I hear Bengals fans say, well, we beat the Chiefs, and then you lost the Super Bowl. Just to know, though, that somebody else beats the Chiefs and goes and gets that ring.
What if it's another team?
Lamar.
Adam, what if it's another team on the way that doesn't beat the Chiefs? Like, what if the Bills knock out the Chiefs and then the Ravens knock out the Bills?
I guess so. At the end of the day, Jeremy, it's all for nothing if the Bills don't win the Super Bowl. I don't care if it, you know, I would much rather, though, I'll say this. I can't stand the Chiefs. I hate Mahomes. I hate Kelsey. I hate everything about the Chiefs. But I would much rather tolerate them winning this Super Bowl than Aaron Rodgers winning it, the Dolphins winning it, Jim Harbaugh all of a sudden pulling something out of his
the Chargers,
Herbert winning it. I'll just never be able to take everybody then having another thing to talk about how, and I'm going to say it, I know it's my quarterback, how my quarterback just isn't as good as your guy because he can't get it done.
And Adam, what about Houston? Houston winning it, just showing up here with Dick.
Don't make me sick. Don't make me sick with Houston winning it. Oh, my God. I can't wait to see them just get smacked in the mouth week 6 or 7, whenever the heart of the season gets going on. I could not stomach somebody else achieving that success before the Bills. That's just how I feel.
Thanks, Adam. I appreciate it. Thanks for the passion. Thanks for the call. More calls in a moment. All right. I'm just going to try this on. This is like a little self-scouting thing.
Uh-huh.
I'm not positive. I think the Jets would be less worse. However, I think if you're voting that Jets-Dolphins winning would be worse than the Chiefs winning, and Adam's point as well, like these are totally fair. Is this not a little bit of Stockholm syndrome? Is this not a little bit of you've accepted they're better than you, and as long as it's only them that you think is better than you, then you're okay with it? And that, Joe, I don't think that sounds good at all.
Wait a minute.
That sounds like you're saying, when you say, it's okay if the Chiefs win it again more than anybody else, what you're saying is, to a degree, I'm okay with them dominating us. I'm okay with them adding another one.
Is it okay, though, or is it just that they've beaten that respect in everybody?
But they haven't been dominant. That you're not playing some team that's gone 16-0 and you're alive during the greatest era of football. They keep beating you by, like, 3.
Plays.
And there's psychology in here. And, Adam, you're not alone. Like, I know these conversations about I can't stomach the idea of Burrow, who, by the way, I sat here and say, I told you the other day, I think he's the most overrated quarterback in football. He gets so much because he got there one time. So we know that if we're doing, like, the quarterback versus quarterback conversations, anybody that gets there is going to get that love. Lamar has 2 MVPs. If Lamar gets to the Super Bowl, I hope you're ready to hear that he's better than Josh Allen, even if he's not. So I get that. But to me, there is something gross about, well, if the Chiefs keep winning, it's not as bad.
I think, you know, yes, there's a bunch by 3 points. But Mahomes has been otherworldly against the Bills. Like, you're not just losing close games. You're losing to the guy that might go down in history one day as the greatest person to ever play this sport. And you can't stop him.
And you're talking about being okay with it on a level.
I'm not even saying I'm okay with it. It's just, It's just how it is. I guess it's like he...
You would prefer it. If the Bills finish... Okay, this is a way to say it too. The Bills finish Josh Allen's career without a Super Bowl, which, God forbid, you would rather Mahomes had nine than three guys win them.
I might say yes to that. Because what is the follow-up then? What is the look back on Allen's career if he never wins one and three Lamar gets his and Herbert gets his and Burrow gets his and Stroud gets his? That all happens, but Allen didn't win one. He'll be Marino, and maybe he will anyway, but he'll be remembered on an island of this guy was unbelievable and he's going to go down as one of the best that never won one, and that'll be his legacy. If Mahomes won nine and nobody else won one, it would be Josh Allen never won one. Stroud never won one. It would be, well, of course he didn't win one. Mahomes won nine.
Right.
Mahomes, he played in the Mahomes era.
But where
it would be Phil Mickelson playing during Tiger's career. We're like, well, Mickelson only had six majors. Yeah, but he played during Tiger.
He did win.
He won. There's more opportunities for him to win. But
it's true, there are more opportunities.
Yeah.
He did win. At the end of the day, is this all about we need to believe that Josh Allen's the second best quarterback to breathe? Like we're hanging on to that.
I think
because at the end of the day,
it's kind of like you're playing for second place.
At the end of the day, doesn't it not matter at all? Either you win it or you don't. Has any sports player been identified as, well, it's like Tiger is a good example and the closest thing we have to this. Brady won a lot of Super Bowls, but other guys won them too.
Like, all the other guys. Roethlisberger got his, and Manning, of course, won his.
I mean, Eli beat him twice. We know that.
The only one that didn't really get one was Rivers.
Right. So it's a bit of a straw man or a bit of a pretty big example to say if Mahomes were to get nine, like that would be any better than if Mahomes gets four and 2-1 and Jax. It would feel like how in the world can I not get one? You know who?
Yeah.
This is an offshoot of this. This gets to McDermott. If other teams, and this is how I feel about Mahomes and how the Bengals got him. The Bengals stop him. The Ravens stopped him that day, right? The Bills didn't because of linebacker injuries. But, like, if this is one of the all-time greats, which I do believe he is, they never win that many. He's not supposed to win this many. Yet they won it in a down year. If you asked me who I thought was going to win the Super Bowl this year, I'd probably say they will. Probably.
I think they're better than they were last year.
They do have a division opponent that is – I mean, I think the Chargers, as much as Adam was mad about Harbaugh, he might be on our side to a degree. Yeah. Like maybe he can knock Mahomes and the Chiefs around a little bit.
He almost sold me on the Chargers being better or being worse because, yeah, something about Jim Harbaugh just standing up there with the Lombardi, the smug look on his face the year after he won the national championship. Yeah, I'm not a Harbaugh guy.
Tweet. A tweet here. Mahomes with nine is better than Mahomes five, Burrow two, Stroud one, Lamar one, because a spread out Super Bowl win is more indicative of Josh not getting it done. It would feel like you missed more of an opportunity because other teams did it. And I get it.
Right.
I do.
He would be more isolated in the forever talk of who didn't win one. Josh Allen didn't win one. And you would sit there knowing everybody else that was great during this era got theirs. Versus the alternative in this hypothetical, which is nobody got theirs because Mahomes was just that good. He was that all-time great.
Right.
He was that dominant. Which, by the way, him getting nine, like, we'll see. This will be true of all these guys, right? Like, this is not different for Mahomes than Allen. Allen will probably play... He'll probably play some years without Sean McDermott as his head coach. Maybe he won't. But Mahomes will certainly play years without Andy Reid and Travis Kelce. Like, that's going to happen. And maybe that's 5 years from now. I don't know. But there will be a section of Mahomes' career where he doesn't have the greatest play caller of all time and the greatest tight end of all time.
All right, let me ask it another way. It's funny. I got, like, Ryan writes in that I'm wrong. I'm not quite devil.
I don't know if you're wrong because this is more of an...
I'm not quite devil's advocating. I am thought experimenting here.
Yeah, this is like a...
Okay, ready? Thing. Here you go. Yeah. The next 3 years.
Yep.
Mahomes wins all three. Or three different guys win it. What will
I do? Feel, think it matters who the guys
wait,
are.
Just wait. What will feel more like it's open for others to win? If the Chiefs win three more, you will feel defeated. What could you possibly do?
That would be five in a row at that point.
Yes.
Five, it's Jordan.
They're due to lose.
Mahomes is going to quit in the middle to go play baseball. That's my best hope. He really is Michael Jordan. He's going to go play baseball for the Royals.
Now throwing. Listen, you got to forgive me. My brain, I'm punchy. I watched a quadruple pass yesterday because they're bored. Kadarius Toney ripping downfield shots to Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, Kelsey just laterals the ball now because like, oh, just try this.
It's awful. Somebody beat them, you know. 803-0550, our phone number. Thanks for the phone call, Adam. And we had a couple others that dropped off. That's okay. Let's just not. There's another one. Steven writes in. NFC teams. Okay, just NFC teams win the next few.
Yeah. Does it matter? So what? Jordan Love wins one, and Jordan then the Eagles win, and the
Niners win.
The Niners win. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, I'll come
that to, I don't mind at all. That I have no problem with.
You should mind that. If the Bills not but, winning, you should mind no matter who it
no,
is.
No, I know. I'm also realistic and know that the Bills are not above 50% to win the Super Bowl.
Sure, right.
So, like, in the original question, like, it would matter for me who the team is. The Jets or the Dolphins winning it would be insufferable. I don't know that I could take it. I don't know that I could come into work the next day after one of those teams wins it. Like, the Chiefs winning it, it would be exhausting and it'd be tiring. Like, oh, they won again. But I know how to do that.
Yeah, right.
I know,
you've done it before.
I've done this before. I know mentally how to compartmentalize that. If the Jets or the Dolphins win, I'm going to lose my mind for 6 months after.
Yeah. Didn't we look at like the Bengals as a, hey, look, it can be done? We kind of did.
Beating them?
And then, as Adam pointed out on the phones, then the Bengals became really annoying about it. Yeah, that's right.
Well, the point you made about it can be done, you could beat them. The Bengals proved that. But what a lot of other teams have proved, the Ravens in the AFC Championship game and the Bengals in that second half of the AFC Championship
game. Mahomes
can be slowed down. Like, there are different schematic things, and maybe those two teams were doing things very differently for how they did it. And the Chiefs' offense last year was probably worse than it ever will be.
And the Bills have done it to them in the regular season.
And the Bills didn't have their linebackers. But it can be done. It's just you got to have it all come together at the right time.
All right. Spicy convo. Chiefs. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, will sit down with us next segment. We're going to chat about these Bills. He's been here at camp this week to take it all in. Another practice on the way today as we gear up for day six from St. John Fisher here on WGR.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Very impressed. Even if you go back to his rookie season, he's so consistent, and even when he wasn't playing, with his approach. One of the first players in the building, one of the last to leave, knows what we're doing offensively, systematically, and when you look up consistent in the dictionary, like, his face shows up in my mind because he's so consistent, and at a young age, I have a lot of respect and appreciation for that.
That is Bills head coach Sean McDermott on Tyrell Shavers. Let's go. Listen, he made an impression, I think, last year, as McDermott kind of laid out there, and he's getting lots of reps this year up the depth chart. Jeremy and Joe from St. John Fisher sitting down with Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast. Always a pleasure. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Good to be here with you.
How'd you take it? You've been here pretty much the week. You're going to be here through the week watching these Bills practice here at St. John Fisher. Hot days, but full pads yesterday. What takeaways did you have?
Yeah, enjoyed seeing the pads come on. You know it matters. They all talk about it really starts when the pads come on. And so I spent a lot of my practice time yesterday watching the O-line and D-line, kind of getting a feel for where they were. And I thought there was a number of things that stood out, primarily Greg Rousseau. And I think that there's so many people kind of starving and waiting for the big breakout. I think we can all recognize that Rousseau has been a very good player, excellent run defender, has some impact as a pass rusher. But can he become like the takeover games guy? Can he be the closer for this defensive line? And I would say that yesterday he looked really, really strong, particularly in pass rush reps against Spencer Brown. I think he got the better of him in one-on-one drills, and then of course during the team. I thought he had a quick sack against Brown and team, and then the next snap, false starts, right? So you think maybe he's in his head a little bit. So Greg Rousseau, I thought, was the kind of the story there for me when I watched the trenches. I guess on the other side of that, Spencer Brown had some struggles, but remember, he spent the offseason rehabbing that shoulder. And so I know there's some rust to knock off there, and you certainly hope that he looks better and better throughout camp. But I thought Greg Rousseau was the guy that really popped for me when watching the trenches with the pads on yesterday.
In terms of the defensive backs yesterday, I know you were standing there while we were watching the one-on-one drills, and we were just talking about Kyer Elam in the break also. No Mike Edwards, at least for a couple of weeks. Hamlin and also Cole Bishop getting some time there. How do you look at the whole secondary through camp and what you've seen?
One of the big storylines of training camp is Josh Allen and all the throws that he's making. And you start to wonder, well, what does that say about the defense? How do you reconcile Josh Allen and all these big throws and all this chemistry that he seems to have with these wide receivers? And what does that mean for the Bills' defense? I think what's important there is you really don't have a pass rush, right? And you talk about defense, it's about the front and the back working together. Well, you don't have really a front that's really affecting the quarterback. And I would say a lot of these plays that are being made by the receivers and Josh Allen, they're really good plays. Like, these are high level of difficulty throws, guys going up and making plays on the ball. It's not like the coverage is getting roasted. It's the offense is making plays. But it's fascinating to watch the corner situation where Kyer Elam is absolutely getting worked in with the first team. Sometimes that means Benford comes out. Sometimes that means Douglas comes out. But he's getting a lot of opportunity, and the big play element that he brings shows up, right? You guys can see that, whether it's forcing fumbles, intercepting the ball, being really physical in press situations. So a lot of those flashy moments for Kyer Elam continue to be there. And then at safety, you know, it certainly feels like Mike Edwards was the plan. You heard Sean McDermott say as much, that the plan was for him to get all the first-team reps during the spring. Well, he wasn't available. He had a shoulder injury, and here we are, 4 days into training camp. He's got a hamstring that's going to keep him out week to week. At what point is he going to have that opportunity to convince the coaches, to convince the players around him that they can trust him to be that safety? And so you feel like maybe that plan, they have to deviate and give Hamlin and give Bishop a real shot here to be the guy. Now, I will say that I feel like where the Bills have given up the most plays defensively in the time that I've watched him has been middle of the field. And so you start to wonder, okay, is that safeties? Is that rust for Milano? Is it working in some of these other linebackers? I saw Dorian Williams get kind of sucked up quite a bit, not being able to get to his coverage drop. So all a work in progress, but I think that's kind of the tug that you have when the offense looks really good. You start to ask yourself, well, why?
Yeah. Last year, we were ready for McDermott. He took over play calling, and it kind of became a, all right, let's see what he does with this defense. They had a hiccup early in the year, injuries, and rounded into form quite nicely. This year, we don't know if it's going to be McDermott or Bobby Babich making play calls, but the change in the secondary, do you feel like maybe by the end of the year, whether it's Bills fans or the NFL world, it's a moment maybe to get respect for McDermott? Is that on the line for him? Because if he can change over as many bodies as he does in that secondary, which is so important to him, and still put out a top 5-10 defense, I feel like even the most reluctant Bills fan might give him some credit.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, especially when you consider the schedule that they have, playing a lot of really good offenses. I think the real test comes in the playoffs. McDermott's had great regular season defenses. He's had good playoff defenses at times. It's what happens when Burrow or Mahomes is on the other side of it. Can he limit them enough? Nobody's going to shut those guys down. They're awesome players, but they don't have to be the best version of themselves against the Bills in the playoffs over and over again. I think that's where the disappointment that I have comes in. And they've been so hurt as well defensively going into the playoffs every year. And so I think you got to give them some grace for that. But at some point you want to see, okay, this defensive mastermind head coach that you have really put something together in the playoffs in those big moments that limits those top quarterbacks, like you see Spagnuolo do, like you see Lou Anarumo do. So, you know, Todd Bowles has done it. It's kind of Sean McDermott's moment. I think that's where he'll really earn that respect. I think there's a fascinating conversation on the offensive side of the ball when it comes to kind of the lower expectations. Josh Allen goes out and has, you know, a normal Josh Allen season with these weapons and kind of the thoughts that so many people have about the structure around him offensively. I think that that would go a long way in kind of, it's crazy to say, validating Josh Allen. I mean, what more can the guy do? But there's weird conversations about him, and maybe some of that would go away as well.
Yeah, I think part of our last segment was Bills fans want Allen to be validated with hardware, whether that's a Super Bowl or an MVP. I almost feel like an MVP for Allen would be like a baby Super Bowl around here, because people would, it would mean a lot that he gets that validation. So let's talk about those weapons. Curtis Samuel, Keon Coleman. You know, when the Bills made these additions, how did you like the moves at the time? And how do you like the way the receiver room, and let's include, of course, Kincaid and the pass catchers. How do you like the way that it all looks in league context?
Yeah, I think you understood the vision at the time. I don't think the Bills wanted to just not have a number one receiver. I thought it was kind of more circumstantial with what opportunities existed and what resources they had to invest in the position. And so their best path forward was, okay, how do we put as many complementary skill sets around Josh Allen and put him in position to run the offense and not necessarily have the burden, for lack of better words, of funneling 150 targets to one guy? And I think that has created a renewed approach for Josh Allen and just being able to play. And it's, you see him out here very quickly just trusting these receivers and guys that he's never really thrown to make plays down the field for him. And certainly the returners like Shakir, like Kincaid, that's all been there. But to see the down-the-field stuff to Hollins, to Keon Coleman, to Curtis Samuel has really popped for me. And it's impressive to see the amount of confidence that Josh Allen already has in those players. Now, you hope that it continues and that when games happen, that same level of confidence and trust exists. But through 5 days of watching this offense, Josh Allen feels like he's having the best training camp of his career to this point, and you just wonder how much of a renewed opportunity this is for him.
Yeah. Joe Marino, Locked On Bills podcast, joining us here from St. John Fisher. I want to ask you about Coleman. We were watching the one-on-ones yesterday, and it's funny, like, Coleman is not right now a do-everything receiver. We know that.
Yeah.
And there are a couple times he's getting covered by Jamarcus Ingram, press coverage. He was not separating vertically, but I don't feel like that's going to be his game in this offense at all. They might be running the drill. I don't know how many times I'm going to see that from him out of the Bills this season, whether it's the prototype X role or putting him in the slot. Do you think he's got room to do a lot of different things? Or do you think early on in his career it might be a little bit – there might be a pipeline or a little bit of streamlining of what his responsibilities might be?
I think you're probably correct in that, and I think you've kind of seen the way that he's been used in these practices align with – what his strengths are as a player. You mentioned the word he's not a do-everything guy. I think anybody that scouted Keon Coleman would tell you that, right? But there is a certain way that he wins, and it's attractive, and it works in the NFL. And so kind of the conversation that I've always had around Keon Coleman and the Bills' decision to draft him was, okay, you acknowledge what this skill set is. Now you got to make it work. And you're not going to make that work by asking Keon Coleman to go win like Stephon Diggs did or John Brown or Cole Beasley or Emmanuel Sanders. Is a different player. And I think what's encouraging is it feels like this offense has an understanding of what he is and what he isn't, and you're seeing him running a lot of routes that are linear and being able to use his physicality and size to create leverage at the catch point and force defensive backs to play through him. And then a lot of times where, hey, it's just kind of work it to him in space and ask him to create after the catch, which is another one of his strengths. So as long as they're using him in the ways that are best for his skill set, I think he can have a role for this offense. I think the question is how much volume goes to him once games happen. And, you know, I think it'll happen through results, right? Josh Allen gives him those opportunities in games and he wins, more targets are going to come his way, but I think there'll be a ramp up.
Yeah. Do you feel like the way camp is in evolving here, that position, you know, Coleman could be a part of this too, because I don't think anyone's really thinking, oh, he'll have the Gabe Davis workload where he's playing 95% of the snaps and he's being asked to do everything in the run game and the pass game. Does it feel like because Coleman's a rookie and you probably don't want to put all that on his plate, and the way camp's gone, like, Mac Hollins is going to be a part of this offense, right?
100%, yeah. Well, and I think one of the observations I would have is you see a lot of those run games, things that you had mentioned that Gabe Davis did, you're seeing Mac Hollins doing that, whether it's motioning in and being an insert blocker, using that size, bunch sets where it's maybe a 3x2 and he's on the post guy and he's going to make a block on a perimeter screen. You know, you could see him absorbing a lot of that, but it still feels like there's targets for him, right, at least in these practices. You know, who knows what happens once games happen, but feels like Josh Allen likes throwing the ball to Mac Hollins, and usually he catches it, and he's made some really impressive plays. He's got a lot of size, and so it feels like maybe the Gabe Davis role is really absorbed by a mixture of Keon Coleman and Mac Hollins.
Joe Brady called Mac Hollins one of his favorite humans he's ever met. Like, man, yep. Allen's got good things to say about him. It feels like the offense, you know, we'll see. We mentioned how the defense has a tough job considering their schedule. The offense, it might be a different kind of year where there is a little more pressure to keep up in some games. As the Bills' defense goes through changes and they play some of the best offenses in football, like, it could be a stressful year for Joe Brady. The margin of error for this offense might not be as big as it could be in years past.
It's funny, you go back to, like, 2020, the COVID year, and that was a lesser Bills' defense. I think it finished, like, 14th in the NFL. Probably the best offense they had. So you kind of wonder if maybe that offense goes into games with a little more urgency, like, hey, we got to get some points on the board here. We're not sure exactly what we're going to get out of defense. Maybe it leads to better offense. At least that's the glass half full approach to looking at that.
Yeah. Tyrell Shavers, you think he's getting first team reps? Like, what your thoughts on the player? I mean, he's not someone that, I mean, most Bills fans maybe haven't even seen him unless you go back to last preseason.
Yeah.
Just kind of the overall profile for him, for you, and whether you're giving real credence to the idea that he also could be on this team.
Well, it's impossible to ignore what Sean McDermott said about him yesterday. Definition of consistency, impressed. These are big words, commenting on his understanding of the offense, his work ethic. Those are big words from McDermott. And Brandon Bean talked about him months ago, right, talking about how he's been around the facility, putting in time. You kind of felt like he may be a thing, and now he's – we're here at practice. Everybody's hyping him up. He's getting first-team opportunities, getting targets from Josh Allen in practice. Has a big special teams background. That's what he did at San Diego State. I think he's like the all-time leader in blocked punts.
Okay.
Originally was committed to, I think, Alabama.
He went to Alabama.
Right.
He chose Bama over LSU and Texas A&M. So, and, like, at some point, this got Justin Shorter a little bit of cred with Bills Mafia. He's like,
right,
he went to Florida. He was the number one prospect at one point. Like, you see that on a profile. I don't know, Joe. I'm always going to say, well, there must be something there.
Yeah. Well, and it's, you could see at Alabama a lot of great receivers.
Yeah.
Maybe he couldn't get beat out. Goes to San Diego State, makes an impression offensively, but really on special teams. And it's, you think it's the more you can do, right? You're talking about depth receivers. You know, a specialized skill set that doesn't bring much value to special teams is not going to be an attractive player to roster. And Tyrell Shavers, there's a lot on the menu for him in terms of the size and receiving ability that he has. But if he can be a special teams piece, I think that's going to go a long way. And I think there's a lot of interesting conversations about the wide receivers. Do the Bills keep five? They only kept five last year, right? We forget that. They only rostered five all season long. And so as we try to figure out who wide receiver six is, maybe that's not even a conversation we should be having. Is it five, and is a guy like Shavers going to, you know, maybe stiff arm a Marquez Valdes-Scantling?
Or wide receiver six could be someone that's on the practice squad.
Sure.
I think it's elevated.
Sure.
Quickly, before we go, offensive line, there was one botched snap yesterday. I think it's the only one I've seen because it's not been like a theme of camp or anything. But it did spark a thought in my mind to ask you. Connor McGovern at center, they plan on it. It seems like the Bills have no big questions about whether he can do it or not. For you, like, how sure a thing is it? Is it like pretty close to 100% that he'll be fine there, or do you think it's something worth watching?
I think it's something worth watching. Connor McGovern certainly wants to be the center. He's spoken very openly about that. I think this is a path that the Bills are committed to, and I don't really expect that they will change course, but I do think there needs to be some consistency with the snaps. You mentioned yesterday there was an under center snap that was fumbled, but the day before, Sunday, I thought there was a lot of shotgun snaps. There was two that were dribbled back. And just this Josh Allen kind of having to search and kind of feel where the ball is going to be, stuff we never talked about ever with Mitch Morse. So I don't have concerns about him blocking and executing as a center, but you want consistency with that snap. It's critical for the timing of the offense. And this is day six today.
Right.
So it's early, but we need to see this go away.
Joe Marino. Find him at the Locked On Bills podcast, available in the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts. A daily appointment for me, the Locked On Bills podcast. Great work as always. Good to see you. Enjoy the rest of your time here before heading back.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Joe Marino. Bobby Babbage, we expect to talk to him coming up in the 9 o'clock hour, so stay tuned for that. Jeremy and Joe from WGR. We're back here from Bills Camp. Bobby Babbage going to join us around 9:15. Jeremy and Joe from St. John Fisher. What else do I have for you here? New Zealand and the U.S. in the semis.
Oh.
Coming up at 11.
Ilona
Amar running through. Is New Zealand the Kiwis?
Yes.
Run through those Kiwis. Do they do the haka?
New Zealand also to me.
Is that they do the haka for rugby sevens or not?
I think so. New Zealand. Couple of things that are working for New Zealand. The haka, and I think they have the best international logo in sports. How's that for a take?
What am I searching here? New Zealand rugby union team?
New Zealand logo. It's like the feather, and it's black and white. Like, the color scheme is always there.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. That's good. That
the uniforms are always nice and cool. Yeah.
The golf starts soon.
Yes. The golf starts soon. Also in tennis, so Jessie Pegula was upset yesterday in women's singles, and then this morning Coco Gauff got upset.
Yep.
So they're both out, but they are also the favorites to win the doubles and their partners. But they're out in singles. Tough.
The Olympic Games from France. They postponed the triathlon a day because there was too much bacteria in the water because they're swimming in the Seine.
Okay, yes. And there is an American that said,
this has to be a fake story. You told me on the way here.
No, this is real.
This
is real.
Has to be a fake story.
I'll find who the guy was. I got to find the story for it. But basically, it was he knew there would be some bacteria exposure in this river for a year because he knew it would be that this is where the event was taking place. So for the last year, this American triathlon athlete, I got to find the name of, said that he, maybe I shouldn't find the name, didn't wash his hands. Including after he would, like, go to the bathroom. Exposing himself to more and more germs and bacteria. That's how he said he prepared.
Yeah. Some guy named Ryder.
That sounds right. Yep.
He wanted to build up his tolerance to E. coli.
Yes. Yep. That's exactly right. So that guy, root for that guy to win the gold because he put in.
No one's made bigger sacrifices than his friends and family who are also microdosing E. coli potentially.
Yes, right. Right.
What's his name? I want his first name.
Ryder is his
somebody,
name.
Somebody Ryder. Seth Ryder.
Seth Ryder.
Okay, Seth.
Does Seth Ryder sound like a guy that doesn't wash his hands after he goes to the bathroom?
He does sound like an X Games guy.
Seth Ryder.
Seth Ryder in the triathlon. All right. 803-0550, final hour of the show. Bobby Babich, Bills defensive coordinator. We'll sit down with him coming up in about 20 minutes, so stay tuned on WGR.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.